Doug Carmichael.
I wanted to change the subject. Before the time elapses, I wanted to go back to the point that Denny Beresford raised. And SAS 70 is the shorthand that auditors use when they talk about the topic. But it's really not about that. It's just service auditors' reports. What it's about is a situation where the information system and controls of another entity are effectively part of the audited entity. And it's a very important area that often gets overlooked. I think the best illustration of that was Mr. Madoff's Ponzi scheme. Mr. Madoff was initiating purchases and sales of equity securities, and that made him a service organization to all the funds feeding money to him. But apparently, a lot of people didn't recognize that they needed to understand the information system and controls at Mr. Madoff's organization, because if they did and tried to do that, they would have either been turned down or found out the fraud was going on. So it's a very important area from that perspective of what does the auditor do when the information control systems of another organization are effectively part of the audit clients. And if it's approached from that perspective, I think you can recognize the importance of it.
Thanks, Doug. And as I indicated to Denny at the time, I think a couple of other SAG members have also, in their input to us, said consider this item. I'll indicate that at this point in time, we didn't feel ready to put this on our standard-setting agenda, but we understand the importance that many give to this, and the fact that auditors, as I indicated, in auditing issuers, often rely on reports by other auditors of the audits of that service organization. So it is an important element at the end of the day to an audit of an issuer. So we'll take that into account in our ongoing thinking of our standard setting. If I may, I'll just try to wrap this up in the near term on our standard setting agenda, but please continue to bring out these important observations as I do so. We appreciate very much the input and the comments we've received. The next standard I was going to talk about on our agenda is going concern. We are evaluating potential revisions to the existing going concern standard. I think, as also has been discussed here in the past, the FASB has a project on its agenda which deals with its consideration of reporting by issuers of considerations regarding the issuer's ability to continue as a going concern. We are staying very close to the FASB as they consider this issue and what direction they're going. We are also considering the fact that the FASB may take a different direction than our existing going concern standard. The IASB has accounting requirements for companies following IASB standards to make reports about going concern, and their period is a little different than what's in our standards. So there could be differences ultimately between what the FASB comes up with regarding issuers' responsibilities to report on going concern, what the IASB has for companies that are following IFRS with respect to how they should report under going concern, and what's in our standards today. So there may be a need to pull all of this together at one point in time, and so we're addressing this very closely, working closely with the FASB staff, and our actions will be influenced by what FASB does. With respect to subsequent events, we discussed this auditing standard at the last SAG meeting, and I'll say a number of SAG mentors commented that revising the interim standard did not seem like a high priority. But others noted that audit firm internal guidance on auditing subsequent events, and it was pointed out that the analogous standard of the ISSB are all more robust than our existing interim standard. The interim standard is primarily a list of procedures that auditors, quote, generally should, close quote, perform, which might identify material subsequent events. The interim standard could be improved by directing the auditor to perform audit procedures designed to obtain sufficient appropriate audit evidence that events occurring between the date of the financial statements and the date of the auditor's report that require adjustment of or disclosure in the financial statements have been identified. So a different direction regarding the principle of that standard and then procedures with respect to what an auditor would do. So the staff believes that we can make appropriate improvements to this interim standard with relatively modest effort compared to some of the other standard-setting projects and propose a new standard in the second quarter of 2011. The next item is a major standard-setting project, the auditor's reporting model, that has been added to our agenda with a goal, as Dan mentioned earlier today, of near-term deliverables, making substantive changes to information that auditors, on which auditors report. The issue has been discussed with the SAG, with the Investor Advisory Group, and has been the subject of numerous other studies. Our decision to tackle the audit report in a substantive way has been greatly influenced by comments by SAG members and comments of the Investor Advisory Group. The message is coming across loud and clear. Investors want the audit report to communicate more useful information. Although the more is coming across loud and clear, the what and how are somewhat less clear. As Dan Gelser also mentioned earlier, our staff is conducting extensive research in this area, and we'll be looking at others who have done research and also interviewing users and investors, users of financial statements, investors, and working with others over the next couple of months as we put together our thoughts in this area. We'll present the results of this research to the board near the end of the first quarter, issue a concept release in the second quarter, hold a roundtable with a goal of a proposed revision to the auditor's reporting model in the first quarter of 2012. This is a very high priority project, and we're putting our most senior resources on it. We're also aware that others, the CAQ, the IAASB, the FRC in the UK, IOSCO, and others are addressing this matter, and we'll collaborate with others as appropriate on this issue. So we wanted to assure the SAG that this item is a high priority, got our attention for significant effort during 2011, and you should hear about this a number of times during the coming year. The next item is the audits of broker-dealers, also referenced earlier today by Dan, addressing the auditing requirements for non-public broker-dealers is a high priority. Today, the audits of non-public broker-dealers are performed in accordance with standards of the AICPA, including the AICPA broker-dealer audit guide. We now have standard-setting authority in this area as a result of the Dodd-Frank legislation. Many auditors of broker-dealers have not previously been subject to auditing under PCAOB standards. PCAOB standards differ from AICPA standards in a number of ways, including, for example, audit documentation requirements and requirements for an engagement quality or concurring partner review. Largely as a result of the timing of the legislation, it was mentioned earlier that the SEC has issued an interpretive release that for now auditors of broker-dealers should continue to follow AICPA standards in 2010 audits while the SEC works on new rulemaking in this area. Subject to that new rulemaking, and depending upon what that new rulemaking says, we intend to or expect to propose new standards in the first quarter of 2011 and adopt final standards in the first quarter of 2012. If auditors are required, therefore, to follow PCAOB standards instead of AICPA standards in 2011, while the new guidance will not yet be effective, our standards would be applicable. We would then issue what I'll call day one guidance to auditors of broker-dealers with respect to transitional guidance to those auditors, especially those auditors who have not previously audited in accordance with PCAOB standards. Both the audit of the financial statements of the broker-dealer are under consideration with respect to any need for additional standard setting, but clearly the major focus is not just the audit of the financial statements, but the auditor's work regarding the safeguarding of customer assets, going to a point that Doug Carmichael just made in terms of customer assets and whether they're safeguarded or not at a particular broker-dealer, and compliance with SEC rules for broker-dealers. So the major aspect, we believe, of our standard setting would be with respect to those two aspects, safeguarding of customer assets and compliance with respect to SEC rules for broker-dealers. The last item on our standard setting agenda deals with Regulation AB, which addresses the registration, disclosure, and reporting for asset-backed securities. That requires an accountant's attestation report for each servicer assertion. The SEC has rulemaking going on right now with respect to revising Reg AB, and we're evaluating the board's standards for attestation reporting in connection with the SEC's rulemaking. While we don't have a timetable down for this yet, we'll set that timetable in connection with discussions with the SEC and with the board. That summarizes the items currently on our standard setting agenda. While the scope of the mission is clearly large, the staff of the Office of the Chief Auditor are excited by the challenges and energized to make significant improvements to audit quality. We're also committed to continuing to issue other timely audit guidance, such as practice alerts, to address any new or emerging practice concerns that we identify throughout the year. We look forward to the SAG's views on our standard setting agenda throughout the year and to your continuing support. In that regard, I see Sam Ranzilla's card up. Sam?
Marty, just one question on the audit of broker-dealers, and I appreciate the clarification that the focus of this is more around the attestation standards and that piece of the service that an auditor provides. In setting your timeline, is your timeline consistent with the SEC's view as to when they will be issuing revised requirements for the broker-dealers and the auditors as a part of their own rules, such that your guidance will go into and become effective at the same time as revised 17A5 goes into effect?
What I can say on that is we are regularly having discussions with the SEC about their rulemaking and about our consideration of revised auditing standards, whether it be with respect to the financial statements or the attestation or compliance reports. So we're working as closely as possible together to understand that what they intend to do, their timing, and they understand what we intend to do in response and our timing. I think that's the best thing that I can say at this point in time. As I indicated, for 2010 audits, the SEC's put out an interpretive release to continue for the time being to follow AICPA guidance. If the SEC were to move to require auditors or broker-dealers to follow PCAOB standards in 2011, that would have to be on existing standards, and we would put out proposed new standards as promptly as possible to deal with that. But whether they be effective for 2011 or 2012 instead, I think that would be the issue up in the air. So there could be AICPA standards in 2011, our interim standards in 2010 AICPA, our interim standards in 2011, and new guidance for 2012. Brian, I saw you put your card up, then took it down, and maybe I'll just see if you want to say something.
I think you've covered it, Marty. The only thing I'll emphasize is certainly to the extent there are rule changes to 17A5, that'll go through public comment and exposure, and clearly, as Marty's already stated, the project listed here with respect to changes to auditing standards in any event wouldn't apply to audits any sooner than 2012. So in the event that 17A5 rulemaking requires 2011 audits to be under PCAOB standards, those would be under day one guidance that the PCAOB would issue, as Marty has described, as opposed to the rulemaking project that you see here. And so continue to stay tuned from an SEC perspective in terms of a rule proposal around 17A5.
Thanks, Brian and Sam. Damon Silvers?
I apologize. I had to step out for a minute for a vote of another committee. But I wanted to make a comment about the going concern aspect of the standard-setting agenda that's still in order. I've said this before in prior meetings of the SAG, but recent events, I think, raised an issue about exactly how to handle going concern matters when but-for government assistance a firm would be insolvent. And seems like if going concern qualifications are going to be up for standard setting, I think that question needs to be addressed.
Thanks, Damon. As I said, we have revisions to the existing going concern standard are on our agenda that we're considering, but at the same time, as long as the FASB is considering potential additional required disclosures, we want to try to coordinate the timing of what we do there. But we have your points in mind as well. Thank you very much. Others with comments or observations about our standard setting agenda?
Well, thank you very much for the comments and observations made during my presentation. Again, we'll look forward to your input throughout the year as we discuss these items, and as you can see, please expect to see a pretty large amount of volume of additional new guidance and proposed standards coming out. So with that, I think we'll now turn to lunch and be back in about 12:45. Thank you.